There was one other announcement that I intended to make and give to Terry, and I forgot. I apologize. We made a real brief announcement this morning's class in the adult class of Brother David Harris. We want to keep him in our prayers. He is in the hospital in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Brother David has been fighting cancer for about the past 10 years, and he's had his ups and his downs, and right now appears to be a very, very difficult time, very down time for him. He is a faithful gospel preacher, one of the few gospel preachers out there nowadays who will preach the whole counsel of God, not just the warm, fuzzy stuff. So we want to keep him and his wife Joy in our prayers during this time. Many of you remember that he, at one point in time, was very possibly going to be the preacher here. So let's keep him in our prayers. You know, sometimes we forget the power of one. There's a commercial on nowadays that said, you know, what if one piece of kale protected you against diabetes? What if one sit-up for the heart? All this different type of one thing. They kind of talk about one thing is not going to help much. One strawberry is not going to do much for you. But sometimes there really is the power in one. We're going to talk about Noah this morning. He was a man of God. We want to talk about him this evening as well. Kind of joked about it this morning in class. I hope after today we know a whole lot about it. But we look at Genesis chapter 6, one of those chapters that really ought to sober us a little bit. It says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, that they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on all the earth in those days, and also afterward. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. And those were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that in every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Nearly 11 centuries, 1,100 years after the creation of Adam and Eve, we read about a man who was born to a man by the name of Lamech. This child's name was Noah. We see that in Genesis chapter 5, 28 and 29. And by his very character, it seems almost to be the case of destiny, that Noah would do great things for God. Noah would be a true servant of God. From the scripture references, what we just read, we take note that, number one, man had become exceedingly sinful in this day and age. It says there that the wickedness of man was great. It says there that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Verses 6 and 7, we see that God regretted, he was sorry that he had made man, and was grieved in his heart because of the direction that man had gone. We see that God had determined to destroy mankind. Brethren, we must acknowledge that we can go beyond the point of no return. That we can so harden our heart against God that we can be lost forever. The people of Noah's day had so hardened their heart against God and become so evil that God was ready to completely destroy the entire earth. We see from 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, where Paul would write about those who had a conscience that had been, quote, seared with a hot iron. They were beyond feeling. We see from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, that it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift to become partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. We see here that God tells us through His Word we can reach a point where we cannot go back because our heart won't allow us to go back. Noah was a righteous man. And I want you to notice something about him. He was a righteous man. He was a just man. And he was living in the midst of a wicked, sinful, morally depraved, morally bankrupt people. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Why? Because verse 9 that we before we got to, it says that he walked with God. He made it a priority in his life to be a true servant of God. He made it a priority in his life to listen to the will of God and follow what God said, not what the world was doing. Noah understood and he practiced a law that was not yet actually codified, hadn't been revealed to man yet, and put down in so many words, as we read in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, where there God tells the people, "You shall not follow a multitude to do evil." I don't know exactly how many people were on the earth by the time Noah's day came there. We've had 11 centuries of mankind growing in numbers. Thousands, hundreds of thousands. I don't know. A couple of million people. I don't know. But look at what Noah was. He was a man who found grace in the eyes of God. He found favor in the eyes of God. And he was surrounded by people who did not love God. In fact, practiced evidently every form of immorality you could come up with. So let's use that as our jumping off point. Learn about Noah. Noah was courageous. And Noah was determined. Noah stood alone in and against a sinful world. And in spite of all of this, Noah did not become discouraged. He didn't become overwhelmed when he looked around the world and all the odds were against him. We learn from 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, where we learn there that Peter said that God did not spare the old world, but saved Noah from the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He was rewarded for his faithfulness, for his courage, for his determination to stand for God. Stop and think about it for a moment. Except for Noah and his family, over a 120-year period of time in which he was preparing and building that ark, not one single soul listened to him. His preaching of 120 years brought zero results out in this world. And yet he wasn't discouraged. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. Folks, we're encouraged to have the same kind of courage and the same kind of determination that Noah had. We're told in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. We don't lose heart. Folks, we're instructed, we're encouraged by the Bible to be the same way. We're encouraged by the same God that Noah served to do the same kinds of things. We're told if we will plant, that God will give the increase. Look around the world. There is not a whole lot to be encouraged about, is there? And yet God tells us, keep on keeping on. Keep doing it. Why? Because we don't always understand the will of God, the providence of God, and how everything works together. We don't always understand it. Number two, Noah was a just man before God. We see that in verse 9. Genesis 6 and verse 9 tells us that Noah was a just man, the King James rendering, a righteous man, and he was perfect in his generation. Now, what made Noah a just man before God? What was it that, as the King James rendering puts it, made him a righteous man before God? Well, let's look at the word just. Let's look at the word righteous. They're actually translated from the exact same word. And it means the character or quality of being right. In this case, being right with God. So we see now that Noah was a man who was doing what was right in the sight of God. It is, here's another definition, whatever conforms to the revealed will of God. It means to be faithful to God. It means to be consistent in our faithfulness. It means to be consistent with the very nature of God Himself. And now we can understand why Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of God. He was trying to be as godlike as he possibly could. He was trying to measure up to the nature of God. Didn't mean he was flawless. Didn't mean that there was nothing wrong in his life whatsoever. In fact, when you look at the whole picture of Noah, he had his flaws. Remember when they got off the ark? One of the first things they did, he planted a vineyard and he got drunk. Wasn't perfect, but let me tell you something. He was striving toward that. We're not going to be perfect either, but we can be just in the sight of God by our efforts and our desire to be what God would have us to be. Folks, we attain righteousness when we teach and we live, that is, practice, God's commandments. Psalm 119, in verse 172, David wrote these words, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all of your commandments are righteousness. In other words, they are that which is correct and right and just and holy. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. John there says, he who practices righteousness is righteous, even as God is righteous. Let's talk about him being perfect. It says that Noah was perfect. What does that mean? Perfect literally carries with it the idea of being in all sincerity before God, complete before God. There was nothing in Noah's outward life or internal disposition that was repulsive to God. And again, it doesn't mean that he was absolutely flawless and there was no mistakes whatsoever. It simply means here that he was correct with God. He was striving to be what God wanted him to be. The expression perfect here, W. Vine pointed out, he says this word describes his entire relationship with God. He was complete with God. We can do the same thing. By being people like Noah and striving to be what God wants us to be. Look around the world. The world wants you to be this way. The world wants you to live like this. But we can be perfect in that sense, complete in that sense before God, have that right relationship with Him when we go to His Word and we study His Word and we see what God would have us to be like and then follow that. That brings up our third point. Noah lived by faith. How do we know that? It doesn't say that in Genesis chapter 6. But you know what? When we go over to Hebrews chapter 11, in that honor roll, if you will, of the faithful of God, look at what verse 7 says. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. You see, Noah lived by faith. Noah heard what God told him, and Noah lived based upon that. He acted based upon that. If Noah had not done that, if he had not a man, was not a man who lived by faith, stop and think for a moment. The ark never would have been built, and you and I wouldn't have been here. Or God would have had to find somebody else, wouldn't he? But he did live by faith. God said, build an ark. And it says he was divinely warned of things not yet seen. Nobody had seen a flood like this. In fact, there's a distinct possibility at this point in time as the world was, they may have never even seen rain before. But the earth being fed and watered by the mist coming up that God provided. But we see that Noah was moved. We see that he was led to action. He built an ark. Folks, biblical faith is a faith that is moved to do something. Biblical faith is a faith of obedience to God in the things that He has instructed us to do. That's what biblical faith is. It's not just a mental assent. I believe that God exists. Biblical faith always drives people to do that which God tells them to do. Obey the will of God. James wrote concerning Abraham in James chapter 2 and verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? His faith was made complete because Abraham put works together with his faith, and therefore his faith was full, it was complete, it was perfect. Friends, Noah was a man of that kind of faith. Noah's faith was not superficial. It wasn't simply said, oh, I believe in God. But what about building this ark? I don't believe I'll do that. Don't have that kind of faith, but I do believe in him. No, he was moved. He had a biblical faith, as we might think of it, long before this Bible was ever actually written, put down for us. Number four, Noah possessed a godly fear. A lot of people in the world today, I don't want to fear God. No, God shouldn't be feared. God's love. Yes, He is. Nobody would ever deny that. God is the very essence of love. He's the epitome of love. He's the source of love. He is love Himself. But God also makes demands upon us. Notice again, go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Noah moved with fear. Godly fear is a powerful motivator in our lives. It's a powerful motivator to help us obey God's will. To be moved with godly fear means that the love God offers us is something that we can in turn love Him and keep His commandments. And to imitate God in righteousness. This is something that Noah did. To fear God is to show respect, to show reverential awe and reverence for who God is. It's the mindset to be unwilling to do that which displeases God. Godly fear involves realization of who God really is. People say, well, I do respect and I do revere God, but do we also fear Him in the sense of what Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28? You fear God because you realize that He alone is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So yes, reverence and awe and respect for who God is, but you know what? We better have a genuine fear, because if we choose to rebel against God, our soul will be condemned eternally. We better have that kind of fear. It doesn't motivate us totally, shouldn't be in its entirety, but people want to leave that off. They don't want to talk about that. Oh, that doesn't sound like my God. Well, then you haven't been reading your Bible very well. That's about all we can say to that. Love you to death, but go home and read your Bible better. The writer of Hebrews well notes this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Contextually, you'll find out where that stands and what exactly that means. And it means simply this, is that when we are in rebellion to God, it's going to be a horrible and fearful thing. Not talking about those who are faithfully serving Him. We are to, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, verses 28 and 29, serve God acceptably. Now listen, with reverence and godly fear. See, there you have an actual split of the concept of loving God and having a fear of God in a reverent sense and a godly fear. Why is that so? Why is that so? Well, the Hebrew writer tells us, for our God is a consuming fire. Noah possessed a godly fear. He reverenced Him. He respected God. He was in awe of God. But he also understood that he could lose his life in that flood too. He understood what God had in mind was terrible for man. And finally, last point for this lesson. Noah was obedient to God. How simple is that? And I really, when you stop and look at it, and yes, with his flaws, and sometimes we refer to as his warts and stuff like that, he wasn't perfect. We aren't. Nobody is. It really kind of sums up the life of Noah in a way, doesn't it? He was obedient to God. Noah was complete. He was perfect, not in the sense of being flawless and without sin. We understand that because who is? But when God told Noah to do something, Noah obeyed. Just that simple, isn't it? Noah obeyed. Listen to the record of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, where it says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. How simple is that? He did everything. It wasn't just part of it over here. I'll take this part, God, but I don't want to do this part. I think about the ark and when he was constructing the ark, and God gave him some very specifics about that ark. The size, the number of levels within side, how many doors, how many windows. All the stuff God gave him very specifics on. Can you imagine if Noah had said, wait a minute, God, I like your idea of this ark, and it's going to save me and my family and what's left on earth, the animals. I understand that. But man, I want a back door too. I mean, what happens if we have a fire breakout and I can't get out the front door? Well, don't worry, there's plenty of water out there. Don't worry about that. Yeah, okay, but I don't like this idea of one window. I want lots of windows. I need light to come in. I wonder what would have happened if he had said that and said, I hear what you're saying about this, but I don't really like that idea. I don't think I'm going to do that. Like what Brother Roy Deaver used to say, that might have been the first example of a submarine. because he simply chose not to do what God said to do. Noah did all that God commanded him. Again, notice chapter 7 and verse 5. It confirms this. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Folks, Noah built the ark of safety according to God's divine pattern, and he and his family were saved as a result of that. Not a pick and choose, not a cafeteria. I like what it says here, but I'm going to ignore this over here. Don't like this one over here. It's kind of like God is saying, even if you don't like Brussels sprouts, when you go through the line, I want you to get Brussels sprouts. But if God said to eat Brussels sprouts, as much as I don't like Brussels sprouts, I'd eat them. But the difference is he's talking about spiritual things and things to do. In a sense, we have an ark of safety today, don't we? It's called the church. It's called the bride of Christ. And in building the Lord's church according to God's divine plan, we too have safety in it. It doesn't allow us to pick and choose out of the Bible what I like and what I don't like. I have this, but I don't like that. It doesn't allow for that. Noah was a man of courage. He was a man of determination. He was a man who strove day by day, I think, to live right in the sight of God. Noah was a man who walked by faith. Noah was a man who reverenced God, respected God, was in awe of God. And Noah was a man who, through his obedience to God, proved that he loved God. Our challenge today, when you stop and think about it, is to be a lot like Noah. Be a lot like Noah. If there's anyone here who's never put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, never been obedient to the gospel call, we ask a simple question, why not? Why not today? If you know what you need to do to be saved, we plead with you to do that. If you're a child of God and you need to come back, you kind of let your life slip. Forgot about great heroes of the faith like Noah and how he could live his life in spite of what the world threw at him. All the people who mocked him. Come back on God's terms today. If you need to respond to the invitation, please, whatever it may be, won't you come as we stand and sing this song?